Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, season one of the show Baskets wrapped up on FX, the Zach Galifianakis comedy, won over critics and earned the show a season two. It's easily the most talked about new comedy on television. A lot of the praise doesn't necessarily come from the laughs, but the art, the drama, the misery that surrounds the main character and his family. You know, it's just truly good television. One of the writers this year was former Chicagoan Rebecca Drysdale. Drysdale previously wrote for Key and Peele and has acted in several television shows like Transparent, The Mindy Project, and Orange is the New Black, just to name a few. If Rebecca Drysdale's name is ringing a bell, it should, because she was a cast member at the Second City ETC back in 2004-2005, and she was in the great sketch show Two White Guys, which played at I.O. here in 2000 and featured her and her partner Jordan Peele. Rebecca Drysdale is currently living in L.A., and she joins me now. Rebecca, thanks for being a guest tonight.
Thank you for having me.
All right, let's talk about Baskets, because that's what a tremendous first season for that show. Did it live up to the expectations? I mean, what did you think working on the show when you first started working on it?
Well, I mean, it was a really, you know, it was a very small writer's room, and it felt very much, you know, I before I wrote for the show, met with Zach and John Kreisel, who's the showrunner. Mm-hmm. And from the get-go, it was very clear, like, they wanted to do something very different and very special and really kind of push the, you know, what is comedy question and how much can we get away with as far as, you know, the tragedy part of comedy and the bleakness of it all and so on. So I was really excited about it because those are all things that I'm really interested in as a writer as well. And, you know, our writer's room was very small and included a playwright from New York who is not a television writer, and a writer from Portlandia, and John Kreisel, who also is a producer on Portlandia, and Zach was in the room almost every day as well.
For you, you said you were interested in that kind of thing. I mean, your background, you've written a lot of sketch comedy, you wrote Key and Peele. You know, getting into that kind of writer's room, into a place where they want to explore tragedy or explore the other sides of comedy, what is it that you like about that? What challenges you in that regard?
I think the things, for the most part, that have drawn me to comedy are not necessarily the super sort of knee-slappy, laughs-per-minute kinds of stuff. And now, because of the way television has changed and because of the different kinds of platforms there are out there for all different kinds of comedy, it's opened up a lot of doors to kind of explore those things. And you have shows like Louie and things like The British Office that are really kind of asking the question, where is that line and how much, you know, human behavior based reality goes into what makes something funny. And, you know, even though I wrote sketch for a very long time with Key and Peele, my interest has always been about storytelling and characters and, you know, really getting to the meat and potatoes of human stuff. And it's only been very recently that you really can do that on TV. You know, for a long time, comedy meant episodic and every episode had to stand on its own. And now we live in this sort of time where serialized content is really in vogue right now. And that's carrying over to comedy and it's creating really cool opportunities to not only like get laughs and stuff like that, but really invest in characters and stories. And that to me is really an exciting turn. I remember when I started trying to like get into TV, serialized comedy was not something that really even existed.
What was it like when you were trying to get into TV? I mean, what was your first?
I did the Aspen Comedy Festival in 2005, and I came out of that with a lot of heat, a lot of showbiz heat. And, you know, I had 150 meetings about what I wanted to do and what I wanted to create and what my ideal show would be. You know, when an agent is trying to court you, it's like, well, what do you want to make? What do you want to do? Not that that's ever going to actually matter, but, you know, so at that time I was like, you know, I want to do comedy that is as addictive and investable as drama. I don't see why that can't happen. And at the time it was just like, nope, that's not that, you know, drama is serialized and comedy is episodic and that's the end of the conversation. So for the way that people are consuming television to kind of catch up with that idea is, for me, really exciting.
You wrote one of the great episodes of Baskets this season, Picnic, which was one the second to last episode where you know, that's where we really got to see Zach Galifianakis in France, how he met his, you know, his wife, all the kind of things that we're curious about it. But there's some stretches in that show. I mean, that's such a dark episode where there are no laughs. I mean, you go good 10, 15 minutes without even an attempt at a laugh. Is that hard to write in a comedy room? I mean, is that, or are they just give you the freedom to say, go for it, don't worry about the jokes?
Well, in this comedy room, it was a very specifically no jokes kind of a room. It was like, the comedy that's going to come out of this is because Zach is Zach, and because humans are humans. So there was no like, hey, let's punch this up and put more laughs in this. And in fact, quite the opposite. If there were things that read too jokey or too scripted or too sort of like TV comedy writing, we tended to get rid of them, which was also kind of a really exciting thing too. And that was very much something that John Kreisel, you know, pushed, and everyone in the room was very kind of, I think, excited about. You know, I don't think anyone in the room was like, but what about the jokes? You know, we know that Zach, because of who he is and his, you know, how nuanced he is and his performance, we knew there was going to be levity added to anything that we did. And we don't need jokes. And the things that make things funny in real life are not jokes. And so that was something that I felt like everyone was very on board with in the room and excited about. Like, how can we kind of change where the laughs are coming from? And because he's also a clown, you know, in the context of like having this main character be a clown who is supposed to be getting laughs and is not, you know, there's a humor in that as it is.
Yeah.
And so we sort of let his, you know, the actual humor come from the fact that he was not able to be funny on purpose.
that's true. That's.
But is an actual great clown just as a human in the world. And I think it took a minute for people to kind of like catch up with it and sort of learn how to watch the show. But by the time Picnic rolled around, I think people kind of had learned that this isn't what this show is about.
Right,
it's
right.
It's not like a laughs per minute kind of show. And at that point, people were really looking, I think, to explore these characters and know about them a little more. I think the Picnic episode led some insight into Penelope's character a little bit and answer some of the questions about, like, well, why is Chip, you know, so obsessed with this woman, and why is Chip chasing this thing, you know? And that, to me, also felt just like a super relatable idea that, you know, we all have had those moments or those experiences that in some way we're trying to recreate or chase. And that feeling of just like, I can't, no matter what I do, I can't, the world is not letting me be an adult. And that's a lot of, I think, what Chip's deal is.
Television writer Rebecca Drysdale talking about her work on the show Baskets, Key and Peele. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk more with Rebecca here on The Download on 720 WGN. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight, Rebecca Drysdale. She's a writer for the show Baskets, the FX hit with Zach Galifianakis. Before that, she was a writer for Key and Peele. And before that, she spent time here in Chicago. Rebecca, that time in Chicago, you did a show at I.O. in the late 90s called Two White Guys with Jordan Peele from Key and Peele. How did that show and your experience in Chicago help you writing for TV?
The Chicago, that early Chicago time working with Jordan was very much, you know, us together finding our voice and the kinds of stuff we want to do. And a lot of that is very present in Key and Peele as well, because we, you know, left college together and created Two White Guys. And so a lot of that voice between he and I, at least, came from doing Two White Guys and stuff like that. You know, as far as how that stuff has played into my more, you know, professional life, it's like, you know, Second City in Chicago was one of my first experiences being like, hey, man, you got to do 6 shows a week. I don't care if you're going through a breakup. I don't care, you know, this is now you're a pro and you're getting paid to do this. And this audience is seeing this show for the first time. It doesn't matter if you've done it 75 times. And so it was a really, you know, that was a real experience of, A, do your job, and B, use the things that you're observing about the world and your own life to create the content that you're putting together.
Yeah.
But, you know, Second City was very much one of the first, well, and working with Jordan was really the one of the first experiences of like taking my feelings about the world and my feelings about human behavior and my feelings about everything that was going on around me and translating that into comedy ease, you know, and sort of using that format to shine a spotlight on the things that we've noticed in the world and that we think are funny in the world. Key and Peele is very much the same. And so it was a real training ground for that, as well as the fact that I was very young. I was younger than most of the people in my cast. And so I got to kind of benefit from these kind of like more seasoned improvisers and performers that I got to sort of learn from every night. And it was great. I have very few negative memories about my time in Chicago. You know, I was definitely like poor and working a bunch of dumb jobs, but there was a ton of freedom. You know, Jordan and I, basically, you know, could do whatever we wanted creatively, really. And my experience at Second City, I think I was really lucky. I remember because I also before that I sold T-shirts there and I hosted there. You know, during like the Rachel Dratch Scott ads at Stephanie Weir days. And, you know, for that opportunity to just get to like watch those people night after night after night, I felt like I was like I had found a genie. Like that was the luckiest, you know, textbook for me ever. But there was always drama and there were always people kind of running around crying. And this is so horrible. And then I was like, God, what the hell's going on in there? And I was like, I guess, you know, hopefully someday I'll get a chance to really work here and I'll know what all the hubbub is about. And my experience personally was pretty hubbub free. I think I was also the timing of my working there was kind of like, you know, after 9/11, all of the content became very kind of like a little safe. And I think I got in there right at the moment where people were like, you know what, let's get in there and do the material we want to do. And so there, I felt at least a ton of freedom there as a writer and a performer. And I was a much, much, much less skilled improviser than the rest of the people in my cast. So that was just an opportunity for me to learn and get better just playing with them every night.
Right. You mentioned earlier about obviously when you came out of Aspen 2005, the agents and people asking what you want to do. I mean, you've had the ability now to do some things on the acting side. You've obviously been successful in the writer's room at Key & Peele and with Baskets. As you look, and let's say agents ask you that question again, I mean, you're further along in your career. You're at the point where, you know, you're a little bit more pick and choose about what you want to work on. What's the project that Rebecca Drysdale wants to work on?
There's a couple things. And in a lot of ways, they have not changed since then. There are a couple things I wrote a while ago that now are not as true to me just because I'm older. Mm-hmm. And so those things I've kind of been like, you know what? It would be weird to get stuck in a room writing this stuff about when I was 24.
Yeah.
But I have an unending dream. I'm kind of trapped between, you know, creating something in the like transparent, Louis kind of indie comedy sensitive world and something that is much broader and more satirical. Jordan and I are working on something right now that is kind of like a Battlestar Galactica meets Veep kind of a thing.
That's cool.
Which is a very satirical kind of looking at our stuff and our world as we try and kind of find a new one to live on. And then I also have, you know, projects that are much more like, you know, handheld indie kind of stuff about sexuality and relationships and stuff like that. So I think that there are a lot of different things.
How many projects as a writer, how many projects do you think you have available to you? I mean, you're always writing. You're always putting things together. So someone's listening to this at WGN Radio and they're in their basement. They're like, I want to be a writer. I mean, how many projects do you have to be working on as a successful television writer in Hollywood?
You know, I think that I probably am not working on enough. I have probably 3 million ideas that are always kind of brewing and steeping in the back of my head. And I'll just be walking down the street one day and be like, oh, that's how that movie ends. You know, once you get into, like right now, I've never written a screenplay before. So right now I'm writing my first screenplay. And for that, I had to really find something that I wanted to write, whether or not I sold it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of that is, it's easy when you live here to get caught up in like, oh, well, so-and-so is looking for this, but this network is trying to buy this. And, you know, so-and-so doesn't want any more of these kinds of shows and start to let that sort of dictate what you create. And I think that can be a dangerous game to play. But it also, and then there's also just all the strategic elements of like, okay, if I write this, nobody will buy it. But if I write this and have a star attached to it, everyone will buy it. I mean, it's so, it's such nonsense. You know, like this show that I have been wanting to create forever that nobody would give a second glance at, you know, now that Jordan wants to be involved, I'm sure it'll be a much more interesting prospect for people. But 10 years ago, Jordan wasn't Jordan. Right. So a lot of it is having that 500-pound gorilla on board, your Apatows or your Lena Dunhams or your Louis or whoever, until you can become a 500-pound gorilla on your own. And it's, you know, part of that is really a pain in the ass because it's like the idea is the same, man. It just doesn't have Amy Poehler's name on it or whatever. But I'm always working on, and you know, God knows if I'm doing this right, but it's I always have a whole bunch of stuff in my back pocket. And then suddenly you'll get an email from someone being like, so-and-so wants to meet with you. And they're really trying to create half hour, blah, 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 featuring women and that take place in LA and blah, blah, blah. And then you can say, oh, I have one of those, you know?
Right.
And so you go into the meeting being like, this is my one of those. And the same with features, I think too, you know, the meeting at Disney and I have, you know, like, yeah, these are my handful of live action Disney ideas. And this is my sci-fi comedy idea. And this is my like multicam network sitcom. Actually, I don't have any multicam network sitcom ideas.
Yeah, start working on
that,
right?
Not the way my brain works. I don't think that's a space. But I mean, I have meetings at like ABC and I'll be like, what am I going to do here?
I wish
my brain worked that way, but it doesn't. And a lot of the times it's like the person you'll be in a meeting with and they'll just be absolutely in love with you and they'll be like, hey man, if it was up to me, this would be a done deal. And it's like, well, it's never up to that person.
That's so true.
I think that goes, you know, I just was in a pilot of Lena Dunham for HBO and that didn't get picked up. So it's all over the place.
Well,
and I mean, the good news is it's changing so quickly that it's very much the Wild West and nobody can really sit down and tell you like, well, this is how it works because it's all breaking down and changing. And that's actually, I think, a really positive thing because it lets, you know, younger kind of writers who are doing different things a place to do different things.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to you becoming a 500-pound gorilla.
Me too.
Rebecca Drysdale, a former Chicagoan who is a writer on Baskets. She's also written for Key and Peele, and you will continue to see her name with Basket Season 2, but also other projects. Rebecca, thanks for taking some time out to talk to us tonight.
Of course. Thank you so much.